Ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, welcome to the Brad and Bunny Basketball Podcast, featuring former Sydney Kings captain and multimedia performer Brad Rosen, alongside Australia's longest-serving basketball writer and blogger, Buddy Nodge, and me, Gilar the Invincible, the voice of a man you just had to have. Now, talking all things NBL and WNBL, here's Bradley.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brad Rosen, and welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. Wherever you are listening to us, whether it be on Spotify or Apple Podcast, hit subscribe and you'll never miss an episode. And of course, like and review us if you feel the compulsion. I'm, of course, joined by the legend himself, Body Nodge. Body, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. And apologies immediately for the state of my voice. Got a little bit of a bug. But hopefully with plenty of drinking water and honey lemon tea, we'll get through the podcast this week.
Hey, my understanding is some of those WNBL games that you said who was going to win, you were yelling at the TV because you were wrong. Is that why the voice is out?
I wasn't just wrong. I was desperately wrong. I mean, Melbourne didn't just beat Canberra. They whacked them by 35 points. I mean, you know, that's almost on par with Cairns beating Perth in Perth the other week. It's an amazing result. Not that they won, that's no surprise, but 35 points, wow.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, we'll come to that in our WNBL wrap, of course. But let's start with our best bit around round four. Let me know.
Okay, for me, it was simply the fact that we sat back and predicted and hoped, had our fingers crossed, that the New Zealand-Illawarra game, that there would be more eyeballs on that one than there was in the initial performance by LaMelo Ball for Illawarra against Brisbane. And there were. There was 1.9 million people tuned in at some particular point to see him and RJ Hampton go head-to-head. That is a fantastic thing. And I believe another 5 million tuned in to watch highlights of the game. You know, what these young men are doing for our league is really important. I think that's what stood out for me. And fortunately, too, even though that was a blowout game, both the young men had a great highlight. Hampton with a magnificent block on LaMelo Ball and Ball with the terrific dunk that he threw down. So that was my highlight. What was yours, Brad?
Oh, couldn't agree more, by the way. That was brilliant. Interesting. I'll come to my highlight in one sec. All the home teams won this week except for Illawarra Hawks losing to Perth at their home. But I will say for me, LaMelo Ball, that was my favourite best bit about this round. 16 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists. I thought he was brilliant in his 32 minutes. Yes, they lost, but I thought outstanding by him, and he was fun to watch that game.
Yeah, and it was against the defending champions and a very, very good side in Perth. It wasn't, you know, just against anybody. So, yeah, it was an outstanding performance from the young man.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. But I do want to just go into some injuries. There's been a lot of injuries after, well, we're on obviously round four, and I want to talk about a couple. I will go straight into some news today, and that is Deng Deng, former Sydney Kings player. He is replacing Rob Lowe. Rob Lowe, a bit of a shocking injury there where he got a fractured skull in last week's game.
I have never heard that before, Brad, in occurring in a basketball game, a fractured skull. And if you saw the incident, it looked like he just took a little bit of a whack to the head. I think it was from LaMelo Ball. It didn't look like much. And it always amazes me that injuries that don't look like much end up being diabolical, a fractured skull. Who knows how long he's going to be out?
Yeah, that is very scary. And speaking of injuries that didn't look like much, I guess we can move to Aaron Brooks with the Illawarra Hawks. And I mean, when you say it didn't look like much, he hopped off. But again, no one around him, soft tissue injury. You were talking about that last week when we were talking about Kevin Lish. And the bad news is there, he's done. He's tore his Achilles, gone for the season. And look, I saw a couple of tweets from him from what I'm reading between the lines. I don't know if he'll play again.
Well, you know, he was talked out of retirement to come back and play in the first place. Yep. He's been out of the game a couple of years. It's interesting with Achilles injuries. A lot of people that I've come across during the course of the years that have had that injury always feel like somebody's kicked them in the back of the leg. Yep. And they turn around to see who it is, and there's nobody there. So even though it doesn't look like much, that's a shocker, that one. And that's usually about a year.
Yeah, well, yeah, at a minimum. And I mean, you know, we see Kevin Durant, look what happened to him, and he's, you know, he's out as well. So Josh Boone's an interesting one. I might be reading a little bit more into this. Well, what's your take? I can't, there's something not right there for Illawarra, and I'm trying to work out, is he happy there and he wants to continue playing? Is it the injury that's stopping him, or is it completely different? And you got three centers, something's not gelling. Your thoughts? What are your take on that?
Look, I think honestly, I put that mainly at Matt Flynn's feet, to be honest. I think he's an inexperienced coach, still finding his way. I'm not going to get into the debate whether he's a good coach or a bad coach. I'm just saying at this particular point where he is in his coaching career, managing that group is going to be a very, very difficult and challenging task. Now, Josh Boone got his nose broken accidentally by Tim Conrad, teaming a friendly fire, played with a mask, didn't go that well, tried again with a mask, went worse. I think they just, to me, without being cynical, which is really hard for me, Brad, not to be cynical.
But, no, really?
Yeah. But I'm sort of thinking, well, the guy's got a broken nose. He's not finding it easy to play. So let's just leave it at that for the minute. I think the big one there is Brooks being gone. Who do they bring in? What sort of player do they bring in? Because they needed his scoring. He was a big-time signing. The whole rotation with the Hawks bothers me, to be honest, Brad.
Couldn't agree more. I got a strong opinion of Illawarra, and again, you know, they do what they want to do. But right now, as terrible as it sounds with two major injuries to your imports, it could be a blessing in disguise for Matt Flynn.
Yep.
He needs to build that team now that he's comfortable, that he can play players that he wants to play to get wins. Because right now, those players don't look like there's cohesion there whatsoever. I would not be going to get a guard. I think they've got LaMelo Ball. You play Emmett Namor. You play Gridder. And you've got your Conrad, who plays a 3-4, I guess. But you've got Toddy Blanchfield as there. I think they go and get an outrageous 4-man.
Yeah, but if there's one available at this point in the year, that's the issue that it becomes.
Yeah, I do agree. But they've got to do something. I would not be going to replace a center. They've got AJ Anderson. There's just no need for a third one. And I think even though you might lose, like if they've got two imports down and you replace one, I just think you might get a better cohesion. And I just can't see, the team being comfortable, and some changes need to be made. And I think Matty Flynn may need to change on who he plays as well.
Absolutely. I like Froling. I would take a gamble on Froling. Look, I know this season, what are they, 1-5, 1-6? It's slipping away. If it hasn't already gone, they're in a hole. It's going to be really hard for them to dig out. So, okay, cut your losses, start playing some of the younger guys and see how they go. You know, like I would take a punt on Froling. I heard the other day on the TV, one of the games they were talking about potential candidates for Rookie of the Year. Well, Sam Froling would be a candidate if he got on the court enough. And I think he can play the 4 spot, you know. So they have options. And you might be right, in the interim, until they get replacements, I think the fact that the actual rotation has shrunk will help them immensely. I think Todd Blanchfield might be able to find his identity again too.
Lost soul.
Absolutely.
I'm a massive fan of Todd. He just looks like he's not even in the game. Yeah. And I think I saw a stat the other day where he shot like 2 shots or something before, you know, by halftime. I mean, that, you know, he was bought to Illawarra after being at the Sydney Kings as one of their gun players.
Yep.
And he's certainly not taking or getting enough shots. So something's definitely got to change.
I see the same sort of thing with Cam Glidden of Brisbane, where you sort of got to – these are guys that were initially brought in to be the man a little bit. You know, you're going to be the man here in our program, but that was Rob Beveridge's program. And now that things have changed with Nathan Sobey coming into the Brisbane lineup, there's more guards there. I just find some guys that I don't think know where they fit, where previously they absolutely did. So there's some things to work out. Yeah, it's early days, but the teams that will work these things out are the ones that will be around at the business end.
Well, I want to stay on Brisbane there because I think that's a good point that you made. They opened the season with 2 wins and now got 3 losses. There is some calls out there that, you know, imports are not the right fit. I know Andre Lemanis in his post-game interview was not too happy being asked those questions and sort of, you know, said he is very happy with the imports and they're doing what he needs them to do. He doesn't need imports to go out and get, you know, 48 shots, I think he said, and 100 points. Whilst I agree what he is saying, I also disagree that they're not doing what he needs them to do because they're losing games.
That's what I was thinking. Are they here to help you lose because you've just lost 3 straight? So, you know, I'm not sure that they're really doing that. If he's saying they're doing the job and you look at their numbers and they certainly suggest, other than Lamar Patterson, that they're not really doing the job. But if he thinks they are, then who isn't? Who isn't?
Yeah, look.
Cam? Jason Kadir, who? Point the finger.
I think you're 100% right. And he's built the team with Australians and then imports around it. No question. Yep. That's, you know, and bringing in Sobey, you know, interesting one. I think they had 1 or 2 assists between Kadee, Sobey, and Glidden.
Wow.
And you got to ask the question, is that what you need from your point guards and off guards? So maybe it isn't, you know, anything to do with the imports. Maybe it's just the structure of it, but I'll be very interested to see how Brisbane go over the next few games. So I want to just get into the round now as well and just talk a couple of wins. Obviously, we spoke about on Thursday where New Zealand beat Illawarra and just smacked them, basically.
Absolutely.
That was not unexpected. You and I should just mention as well, Boddy, 7 out of 8, mate, last week you predicted.
Oh, look, I was sitting pretty there at quarter time in the Cairns game with Melbourne 12 up, and I picked Melbourne. I'm sitting there thinking, this is good stuff. I'm a genius. And then by halftime, I'm thinking, you know, maybe I'm not a genius. And by three-quarter time, I was thinking, possibly I could be an idiot. And by the end of the game, that was confirmed.
Well, we won't talk about the WNBL then, because I don't know what's below it. So there it is.
Excuse me.
Okay, so New Zealand, great win. Very impressive. New Zealand are one of those teams where when they're on, geez, they're fun to watch, and they are a top four team. The problem is, we've spoken a lot, you just don't know what you're going to get from that team. Toss a coin in the air. Adelaide beating Cairns on Friday, good win by Adelaide. They needed that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, solid. It wasn't like it's a four-point win. So I think I was about to be a little bit critical of Adelaide, and I stopped myself because I just realised Cairns, that was the sandwich, the meat in the sandwich between beating Perth and Melbourne. And so 4-point loss in somebody else's gym. Cairns is a little bit better than a lot of us suspected at the beginning of this.
Mate, Scotty Machado, I'm going to come to him in a second. Wow, yeah. I am loving him. He is a better option than Mello in that team. He is phenomenal.
I totally agree.
Loving.
He'll be heading to Brisbane or Melbourne next season.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, probably Brisbane. That's where they all go. That's input. Yeah. Look, Perth, we mentioned this last week. We were interested to see how the Phoenix face up their first real test. And, smacked 31 points. Never in the game. I was watching that, and Perth just had them from tip-off. What a game.
Yeah, and Damian Martin turned back the clock. I don't think he's going to be able to do that on a consistent basis anymore, shut down the real studs. But every now and then, he will. And that was a perfect example. He really did a job on John Robeson. It was just hats off to Damo. He can still do it. I just don't know if he can do it, you know, 28 games and then finals. He'll have to pick his moments.
Well, stay tuned, because I want to talk about backup point guards. We're going to come to that in a second. And, and that is a perfect point of what I'm trying to say with him, but we'll come back to that. Melbourne United, a must win against New Zealand. They got it. Everyone thought, here they go. Everything's going well. But then they lost to Cairns. But we'll talk about the New Zealand win first. Good win. I wouldn't say it was their greatest, but they just had to get it done.
They had to get it done, and they persisted and persisted and persisted until they got there. You know, there were many times I felt that the Breakers were in control of that game, but they couldn't deliver the killer punch, the knockout blow. You know, Brandon Ashley had probably his best game as an NBL player, but he picks up a couple of cheap fouls, hinders their ability to sort of push it out a little bit more. So they made mistakes of that nature that kept Melbourne right there, and Melbourne just hung in, and then when it mattered, they were able to put their foot on the gas and go. And I thought Mitch McCarron was the unsung hero of that one.
He
just did so many things that don't stat, but they're there. You know, there's the energy and the effort and the enthusiasm, the double team that forces a turnover, and someone else gets the steal on the stat. But that was, you know, a lot of his work. I was very impressed with him, always have been.
And the coaching staff mentioned that afterwards as well. So it's always good to be seeing that. Brisbane, no choice. They weren't even in the game against Sydney. No. I know it was only 15 in the end. I think that was lucky for Brisbane. Yep. Scoring 79 points, you're just not going to get it done. Sydney just rolling on.
Yeah. Even Andrew Bogut took an early shower. Couldn't be bothered sticking around.
The Phoenix backing up. That's the sign of a good team when they go to Perth and, you know, they didn't play really well and then they backed up. And I thought Adelaide played okay. Again, not one of their greatest games, but the Phoenix just did what they had to do. I thought Ben Madgen played well, Robeson, and, you know, they did what they had to do. But Dane Pinot, what a game he played. Jeez, he's filling a beautiful role for them.
He is, and he's having to, because Keith Benson really is not bringing them hardly anything. So he's seizing his opportunity, and good luck to him. I thought Jeffrey Crockett was pretty effective too.
Yeah, and he's an interesting one, because that Crockett, he had 12 points in 26 minutes. Now, in theory, and I'm 99% sure I'm right here, he goes when Ty Wesley comes back, because he's the replacement. So it's not like they can get rid of Benson.
Yeah. That's exactly what will happen. But I think there's they would probably be looking around at the moment. I'm sorry for Keith Benson, but he's not at the level that they need. What most impressed me about this win is twofold. One, Adelaide is still finding itself. They don't have their identity yet. They don't have their rotations down. They're still a few weeks away from being the team that they potentially could be. What I liked about the Phoenix was they talked the talk. And then they walked the walk. They said after the Perth game that that wasn't going to impact on them. That was a learning experience, and they were moving forward, and they did. I liked Mitch Creek's second half when he sort of, I think he may have been affected by the circumstances against his old club in the first half. But in the second half, I thought he was terrific, and Roberson was terrific. And, gee, they just overwhelmed, and it was a very good performance.
I think that's a good point you made of Mitch, because I know you said on the show last week, you know, you expect Mitch to have a wow of a game. He's not that player from a few years ago where he will let emotion get to him and then play. I don't think it was at that level, but the first half you could see glimpses where I agree with you, in the second half he was just the MVP Mitch Creek that we saw from round one and two, where he just dominated. And geez, they're fun to watch, Phoenix, when they go.
Yeah, and I think with Mitch now, he's probably just sat down at halftime. Maybe somebody had a word to him from the coaching staff. But I think he's just at that point where he thought, you know what, I've got to snap out of this. I can't play a whole game. I'm just going to snap out of it and get on with it.
Well, I remember that's a great point you make. And I remember when I was playing, a coach used to say to me, and Brian Gorgian used to use this when I was an assistant with him as well. He'd go up to a player at halftime, or a coach would come to me, and they'd say something along the lines of, look, you know, you've had a crappy first half, let's be honest, right? Now, there's two ways this game's going to go. You're going to have a crappy second half, and we're going to talk about it during the week, and you're hopefully going to play better next week, or you can change this right now, right? You can change your mindset and get the next, what was then, 24 minutes, because it was 12-minute quarters, right? You can then get the next 24 minutes and you can go to work and get that. And I'll tell you, sometimes you just needed that switch to flick on, and that's really good coaching. And that would not surprise me at all if that's what happened to Mitch, because he was a different player when he came out.
Yep. And when you're a player that can do that, that doesn't write the game off because they had a bad quarter or a bad half, and say, okay, well, I'll be back next week, I'll see if I can do better, but pulls himself out of it with help or without help, that's the mark of a guy that is a quality basketball player and on the top tier.
And so I was not, but thank you anyway. So we move on to the Perth Wildcats, because a guy that is obviously Bryce Cotton, and how good is he? Illawarra versus Perth. We spoke about it. Illawarra, just such a shame with all their injuries. But I'll tell you what, even if they weren't injured, I couldn't see them winning that game. Perth, they came to play and they played well.
Yeah, but the good thing for the Hawks is that they gave their fans, who are very loyal and very faithful to them, they gave them something to cheer about. They put in probably their best performance of the year. I know they've got a win over Cairns. It was a one-pointer, and at that stage, I don't think Cairns was sure how to finish out a game. But this was for a loss, it was a good performance, and one you can take encouragement from.
And then, of course, the one that you did get wrong. Sorry, I had to rub it in. Cairns versus Melbourne. What a game from Cairns. They were down 31-19 at quarter time, then won the next three quarters, won by five. And I know there's a number of players that played really well. I thought Newbill was great, but Scotty Machado, man, he impressed me. 14 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, and some of the dimes that he gave. Wow. He was just great in that game.
Yeah, he's the next of the great point guards in this league. I rate Casper Ware on a particular level, and then there's a secondary bunch, but if he sticks around in our league, he will get to Casper's level at some point. The thing is, he may as well, you know, we might be just having to enjoy watching him now, because he may get knocked off by even NBA, certainly Europe, when they're aware of him, because he's a very good basketball player. Right. And they've had some great point guards.
Haven't they? Games. God, Scotty Wilbekin, Mello, him. Like, man, geez, Mike Kelly's done a good job. And even some of those were pre-Mike Kelly.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, you can go all the way back to Jamal Wilson. And even before that, they've had lots of them. That's an area they always seem to get right.
Yeah, that's not mistaken. Well, there's the round. I do want to just touch on that backup point guard that I was talking about before. Now, as a backup point guard that I was in the NBL, I knew how big of a role that was. Now, there was two things that was a big role for me. Number one, I knew that I had to push the point guard at training every single day. I knew that was my job. So whether that be Phil Smythe, Damien Keogh, Greg Hubbard, when it was my days, Shane Heal, Aaron Trahair, Kelsey Weems, all these guys. Yes, I played with 34 imports in my career, 8 in one season. Wow. Okay, so 8 in one season, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Mate, actually, I remember the Violet Crumbs.
About this. It's a real funny story. Bruce Bolden, one of my best mates, we're rooming together. We're down in Melbourne and we're playing the Magic, right? And, you know, Brian Gorgian. And then we had to play Perth the next day in Perth. So we're playing Magic. Let's say it's a Friday night. I can't remember if it was a Friday or Saturday. Anyway, Buffy Bolden, that's his nickname, Buffy, we're sitting in our room and it's tea time or, you know, pre-game meal. So we get in the lift and we go down and we open up the lift. And there's Dave Simmons in a King shirt. Now, Dave has not played a game, hasn't been to training. We didn't even know what was going on. And there he is sitting in a King shirt. And both, you know, Buffy and I look at each other and go, Simo, g'day, mate. You know, like, what's going on? He said, yeah, I'm playing tonight. And we're like, okay, so who's not? Because we've got two imports. And so it was a guy called Brian Caver, I think it was. Now, Brian came out the week before, trained with us the whole week, came to Melbourne, sat on the bench, didn't play. Now, he didn't even play a game. He just came out to training. So there was two imports. And like Bruce and I just looked at each other and laughed. So yeah. We did really well against the Magic. We only lost by 37. And then we went over to Perth and did much better and lost by 33. So it was a fantastic weekend. So let's move on to backup point guards.
Yeah. I mean, the interesting thing about backup point guards is exactly what you said. They've got to keep the point guard honest. And they also have to have the confidence of their coach. And you look at Perth, and Mitch Norton was a starter at Illawarra, was a starter at Townsville, and he's now Damian Martin's understudy. I mean, what a luxury to have. But if you look around the league, I thought Sean Bruce's performance for Sydney was outstanding. I think he almost treated Brisbane with contempt. Like he just, you know, he had no regard, no respect for that group. And I thought that was an outstanding performance. There's a lot of good ones around. Shea Ely at Melbourne United backing up Mello Trimble. I mean, I don't think we've seen enough of Daniel Dillon here in Adelaide backing up Jerome Randall, but you're not going to play a lot of minutes backing up Jerome.
Well, you look at the players that they've got, you know. I mean, you go around the league and every team, Illawarra, you know, they don't play him enough. And I love what he brings to the game in Emmett Nahr. And also Kyle Adnam when you talk about Southeast. So backup point guards, huge thing, and so good for the teams as well. Boddy, let's move to WNBL. Some great games this weekend. What upsets they were. So I couldn't believe it. I'll quickly go through and you can have a quick chat about them. Melbourne beating the Capitals 107-72.
You know, as I said at the start, I tipped Canberra. I wasn't surprised Melbourne won, but 35 points, that's an absolute belting. And you go, okay, well, we expect Canberra will bounce straight back from that. And so when they didn't, against Sydney, now you sort of go, well, are they as invincible as we had painted them?
Yeah, well, clearly not.
No, clearly not. And they've got Sydney again this week at Canberra. That's an absolute must win. That's a statement game. They have to not just beat Sydney, they have to belt Sydney to show the rest of the league, yes, we're sorry, that last weekend was an aberration and we're ready to go again because they were bad.
And that, I agree with you. That's what they've got to do, not just beat them. They've got to let everyone know, okay, we had a bad weekend. We're ready to go now.
Yep.
Flyers beating Bendigo. I don't really think that's a shock. Your thoughts?
No, not really. I think Bendigo did great to sort of fight that out after they were in a pretty bad position. They made the final scoreline pretty respectable. And it was in Traralgon too. The first game was in Geelong between Melbourne and Canberra and the other one in Traralgon. So it's good to see the teams taking games to country. Victoria's excellent.
Yeah, I agree with you. Adelaide, good win against Perth.
I think that was a great win, but you've got to bear in mind that Perth's import, Imani McGee Stafford, didn't suit up. She had a foot in a moon boot. She's got some sort of ankle problem. And also Ariel Atkins, who was expected to play. I saw in the press conference afterwards, we were told that, well, she needed a few more days, 3 or 4 more days, which it struck me as interesting because I remember Bobby Locke, yeah, and as you may, arriving at the airport in Melbourne, getting picked up at Melbourne, driven to Geelong, given his uniform, going out and scoring 50 points in his first game. But apparently, you know, we needed 3 or 4 days for her to get right. So, It helped Adelaide.
Nudge, yeah. I hear. Of course, we spoke about Sydney beating Canberra, and then Melbourne going up north and beating the Fire, Townsville. So a good win by them.
Yep, and not totally unexpected. They're actually, that was the weekend Melbourne made its statement. And as I said, that Canberra now needs to make a statement against Sydney this round. Melbourne has made it. It's beaten the champs and has gone up and beaten a quality Townsville team. So, they've said, yeah, we're for real. We're fair dinkum. Don't look at our 4-0 win-loss record and think there's something suspect about that, because there isn't.
Yeah, I love watching Lindsay Allen play. I don't know. There's just something about her that I could just, you know, she's just a player, you know, just a baller, loves what she does. 25 points in 30 minutes or 31 minutes. I just thought she just dominated that game, to be honest.
Yep. She's a very, very fine player.
Mate, I want to move now to the games of the round this week and get your tips. And let's hope we do better than last week here. So we'll start Bendigo versus Adelaide in obviously Adelaide on the road.
I'm going to take a punt on Adelaide, even though I like the way Bendigo is shaping up.
Okay. Well, we spoke about this one. Obviously, the Capitals play against Sydney Uni. You think Canberra are going to get that one, or at least they need to?
They need to, and they need to do it, you know, very emphatically.
I'm really looking forward to this game. Perth take on Townsville. That's going to be a beauty.
Because it's in Perth, I would favour the home team, but only for that reason. I mean, Townsville's won there before, but they were some great Townsville teams that had a girl by the name of Susie Batkovic playing for them.
Yeah,
this one isn't quite as good a team as that, and that's why in Perth now having lost three in a row, and they'd be pretty upset about that. I expect them to win that.
Okay, Flyers and Bendigo.
Well, you know, Southside just beat Bendigo and Traralgon. I don't think they're going to lose to them in Dandenong, so got to go with Southside.
And the Boomers versus the Flyers, again, got to back up for a doubleheader, the Flyers.
Yeah, that's the Melbourne Cup Eve game, which is becoming a bit of an event each year. I'm going to favour Southside, but I'm not really sure why. They're both potentially, like, Melbourne will be 4-0 and Southside potentially 5-0 when they get into that game, so it's a massive game. Just leaning a little bit toward the Flyers.
Yeah, I think there's all fair, but, you know, I'm looking forward to you getting all of that correct, as you normally do. So I'm going to now take you back very quickly, and we want to talk about round 5 for the NBL. Yep. And we're just going to it's starting off on Thursday night, New Zealand versus Cairns. Who you got?
New Zealand at this point, but again, I'm stressing that I'm wondering whether I'm underestimating Cairns, because I really do like what they're bringing to the table. I just think that if New Zealand loses one at home, then they can start worrying about how their season is playing out.
Yeah, I'm going for New Zealand. Next one, Brisbane versus Perth, and shoot me, but I think Brisbane are going to get that one, and if they don't, they lose me for the year. I just think something's going to change with that team because they're better than the way they're playing, and I think Perth are due.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I like your thinking on that, on where Brisbane's at, but I don't know. Beating Perth at the best of times is a challenge. Even when you put your best foot forward, such as Illawarra did last round, still couldn't get it done. I'm going to favour Perth, but it wouldn't surprise me if you're on the money.
Phoenix versus United. Now, this is an interesting one. I think Phoenix will be, you know, frothing at the mouth to get round 2 against them. Melbourne United just need a win, but nothing tells me Casey Prather will be back. Something about United. I toss a coin in this one. I'm going to go United just because I think they're going to put it together. But, geez, it wouldn't surprise me either way.
No, well, Casey Prather's had his surgery. He's training. I spoke with the CEO of United, Vince Crivelli, earlier to find out what his status was. He's a long shot. He's a long shot to play against the Phoenix, but they're probably hopeful that he'll be back in the lineup the week after. So at this stage, you know, they've got a lot. Honestly, it's such a tough one. They have to win a game here, Melbourne. So just because it's so important to them, I think they're going to get it done.
Yeah, Adelaide versus Sydney. Wow, this could potentially be the game of the round. Adelaide were very poor against Sydney in their first game. Jerome against his old club back at home this time. Oh, geez, you've got to get out Adelaide Entertainment Centre. It'll be a beauty. I'm going to go for Adelaide in a shock.
Yeah, that's a shock, because I'm going to go for Sydney in what wouldn't be a shock.
Wow, are we supposed to be doing that opposite? What's going on there? Okay, let's move on. New Zealand versus Perth, another one going across the ditch. Perth play Brisbane, then they've got to go all the way to New Zealand. New Zealand getting two home games for the round. Oh, I tell you, toss a coin for this one as well. I'm going to go Perth backing up off a loss to get a win against New Zealand.
Yeah, and I'm going for Perth for a sweep, having beaten Brisbane, and they'll also beat the Breakers.
Yeah, good call. No arguments there. Illawarra versus Brisbane. Oh, geez. Both teams, you just don't know who you're going to get. I said last week, Illawarra are going to have that game, and I don't know when it's going to come, where everything's just going to click. I'm going to throw it and say, I think this will be the one, and they'll get their second win.
All right, and just to be different, I'm going to go with Brisbane and say that they'll get another win over Illawarra, given that they handled them pretty comfortably earlier in the season. And that was one of their two wins. So I'm thinking, yeah, that's a team they think they own.
Are we like a married couple? Are you just going opposite me, like for no reason at all, or just for the sake of it?
Do you like tea or do you like coffee? This will be the answer. Work that out when you give me your answer.
Does it matter? Because you're going to just tell me get it yourself anyway.
Yeah, there you go. But right now I'm drinking a honey lemon tea, so that's one out of the box. Normally it's coffee.
Don't call me honey. Anyway, United versus Sydney. You got, I'm going to go, oh God, this is a tough one. Sydney to beat them on the road.
Yeah, likewise. I think Melbourne will really be putting everything into the Phoenix game. And as they should, you know, you never should look past an opponent. But once they've done that, if they get that, I don't think they'll be able to get up again and get Sydney. I'd be surprised if they could go a sweep on the weekend. So come on, give me your Rose and Rattler for the week before Rose we sign and out. Rattler,
yeah, look, I can't go against the Cairns Taipans. They've beaten the two grand finalists in a week, Perth on the road and Melbourne at home. Yes, I know they lost to Adelaide in the middle. But for a team that everyone thought ain't going to win a game or go last, I could not be more impressed with Cairns. I love Mike Kelly as a coach. I think it's a shame that, you know, he doesn't have the caliber of players, and that's no disrespect to the players that are there. They've got some good players, but not what the big couple have. I just thought Cairns were brilliant, and that's my Rose and Rattler. Give me it, nasty. Give it to me. I know you're revving it up.
Yeah, well, in actual fact, I don't want to be boring, because last week my nasty was the unsportsmanlike foul, but I've got to revisit it just on two quick notes. One, I think the players have got to take some responsibility for it as well. You know, they're doing some – there are some dumb fouls being made. Okay, so I think the USF, we hate it, but players, wise up. Don't do stupid things. Hide if you, you know, make a play on the ball. That's all you got to do, make a play on the ball. The second part of that is, refs, you don't have to call an unsportsmanlike foul. You don't have to go and check the video on even the most innocent of hard fouls. You know, you don't have to do that. You can just go, okay, that's a hard foul. On we go. He was playing the ball. Get on with it. I think the refs are enjoying too much TV time, looking at the video, and players aren't being smart enough. Those two little things would quickly smarten it up until we get a different interpretation of the USF.
And there's Nodge's nasties, and I love it. Says it how it is. Body, look, it's time. Can you believe? We've done it already, and geez, I'm loving this show. I do just want to just mention to everyone out there as well, hit us up on email if you want to and ask some questions. We'd love to have some interaction with you guys. Bradandbotty@gmail.com, and that and is A-N-D, by the way. So bradandbotty@gmail.com. We're Brad and Botty at Twitter and Instagram as well, if you'd like to hit us up. We love the feedback that we have been receiving so far, and I know, Botty, you've been getting a lot as well.
Yeah, there was a lot of positive stuff came into my website, which I was really thrilled about, because, you know, we don't know what we're doing, and we don't pretend to.
No, we got no idea, as you can tell. So I do have to say, and I'm told to say this because I've got no idea what it means. Whether it be at Spotify or Apple Podcasts, make sure you hit subscribe and you'll never miss an episode. And of course, like or review us, well, if you feel like it or if you feel like you don't. So anyway, Botty, as usual, awesome. Love reading your articles on your website as well. Thanks for joining us, and everyone, thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week. Have a great week.